Inside on Business, the News Hour, is brought to you by Insight Advertising, Marketing, and Communications, a full-service ad agency, InsightCubed.com, and the elite training team at Tarot International. Achieve, lead, outclass at Tarot.com.
It is the Business News Hour, and with us in studio is the president and founder of Tarot International. Her name is Rowena Crosby. Her friends call her Ro. And she is a co-author of the book, Your Invisible Toolbox. And we're going to talk a little bit about that and something called perennials. And this is a conversation that we had on the phone the other day. And I think this is so timely, and I'm so pleased to learn that there's another grouping out there besides Generation X, Y, Z, and Baby Boomers. Welcome to the Business News Hour. Good to have you back.
Thank you, Michael. It's always a pleasure to be here.
I'm not blowing smoke, and I told you on the phone the other day, this book, I think, is perhaps one of the finest self-improvement books I've ever read because it is short, it is concise, and it really points to what Tarot International is so well known for, your passion for research. Fascinating stuff.
Well, thank you. And thank you for the compliments on its consumability. That was one of our goals, is to provide a product that people could just have on their nightstand and just consume in a couple of pages and feel like they had a takeaway.
So let's talk a little bit about the makeup of the book before we get into talking about perennials, because I think that's a fascinating subject in itself. How is this laid out so that people know what to expect when they pick it up?
Yeah, thanks for asking. There's five parts to it, and each part addresses a different part of our interpersonal or personal skills. So the first part is the tools for interacting with others. Then there's tools for presenting yourself in the world. The third section is tools for working globally. Then there's a section for leaders, and the final section is tools for personal growth. Within those five parts of the book, there's 100 chapters, which I know sounds daunting.
Yeah, it does sound daunting.
But actually, each chapter is kind of a comfortable blog length,
right?
Really, you know, 400, 800 words. So you can dive in anywhere. You don't have to read it in chronological order and pull out some nugget that's useful depending on what's going on in your world.
I have found the best way to use this, interestingly enough, is not to sit down and try to digest this whole thing in one setting. I think the best way to do it, and ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't seen or read any of this, you must do this, because what I've done is I've taken a section a week.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, rather than doing, you know, one a day, I started out at one a day, but then it got crowded. I cannot improve that much in just a day. So if you take a section, a chapter a week, and then work on what that is. And today's lesson, by the way.
What was today's lesson
today's
for you,
lesson
Michael?
Today's lesson was demonstrate your competence.
Oh, terrific.
And
you do that every day so beautifully.
Well, you know, we try, but I thought this quote was absolutely stunning. And we'll talk a little bit about this chapter if you can.
Of course.
A strong foe is better than a weak friend.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That says so much about our interpersonal relationships. Can you expand on that whole?
I can, and thanks for commenting on the research piece of this a little earlier. So it turns out when we meet someone new for the first time, we instantly and unconsciously get two questions answered. The first one is friend or foe. Do I like this person? Can I relate to them? Or do I not like them? And the second question is how competent and capable is this person? Can they help me? Or do they have the ability to harm me? If they're in the foe category. And so when we start to plot those answers, you can end up with a standard 2x2 matrix, and it reveals to us why simply building relationships in the workplace isn't enough. We also have to demonstrate our competence. And we've all seen situations where people will do a little business with someone that they like, but ultimately, especially in tough economic times, they need to do business with people who are competent that they also like.
You're right. And so to make that differentiation in just a few seconds, which is oftentimes all we're afforded.
Yes.
You know, that means, I would suspect, that we always have to have game on.
Always have to have game on, because Harvard tells us we form an impression in 2 seconds. Imagine people answering that question.
Yes.
Or two questions, likability and competence in 2 seconds. And they're doing it based on largely the visual elements.
Demonstrate your competence. So how would one go about demonstrating one's competence?
Well, that's an interesting challenge, I think, for all of us to figure out in our own unique lines of work, and relates to us as individual professionals as well as to the organizations that we serve. And how can we show that we're the go-to expert? And you're a real expert on things like social media and actually broadcast media. And how do you do that in a way that doesn't look like it's self-serving? And I just think you're a terrific example of that because you speak at conferences. Mm-hmm. And you give so generously of your time to help other people. And that's a way of building the likability as well as demonstrating competence.
There are people, Ro, that when you walk into a room or they walk into a room, they exude confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Is that somehow attuned to not only their abilities, but also the way that they look, they comport themselves, the way they speak? Are all of those things reflective of confidence?
It is, and you're talking about some of the chapters that are found in part two of the book on how we show up in the world.
I haven't gotten there yet. I got to get there. Yeah.
There you go. And really, the messages we send. So I'll disclose something to you that I disclosed to an audience last week that I rarely disclose. And that's that going out and speaking about this book, I'm actually a little nervous about it. You know, I do keynotes all the time, and I'm pretty skilled in them, and they don't make me nervous. But going out and delivering a keynote on the book, especially for the first time, makes you a little nervous. But because I've got some command and access to the tools in section two of the book, in part two of the book, I can come across as competent and confident, even if I don't feel that way.
So the nervousness of this, is that almost like I've given birth to this thing and I hope people like it?
Well, you got to think it's a little
yeah.
bit. This is, as we've talked to you in the past, this is 7.5, 8 years in the making. We feel like our souls are embedded in this. One of the things that I think people can so relate to, though, is every one of us probably has a book in us, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
And it is such a personal thing that there is a little bit of adrenaline response when you think about presenting that piece of yourself, putting it out there for critique and feedback.
I hope you like this.
I hope you like it because I'm so proud of it and it's in print now.
Right. And we've got to pay for this thing, by the way.
Indeed.
And this book, ladies and gentlemen, again, it's called Your Invisible Toolbox. We will have links on the radio blog so that you can learn more about this. And one of the things that you and I talked about on the telephone just the other day, it is written for millennials, so to speak.
At least with them in mind,
with
yes.
them in mind. All right. So explain to us why.
Thank you for asking about that. The interesting and rather difficult challenge that my co-author and I had is that so many of the concepts in the book are timeless. And so how do you make that relevant, that it needs to get picked up right away? Because otherwise it can languish on a bookshelf. And the millennial generation is introducing a new way of working in ways we've never seen in the past. So the subtitle is The Technological Ups and Interpersonal Downs of the Millennial Generation. And so each chapter does take a look at what the influence of that population is, the urgency of the skills with all of the technology that's now available to us, and quite frankly, how tragic it is if we don't get these things right. You know, if you or I in our youth made a misstep interpersonally, that largely was just confined to a small group. On social media, these things go viral very quickly, and
right.
we've seen young people's careers absolutely destroyed. You remember the story of Justine, can't remember her last name, the one 30-year-old young woman, 2013, aspiring in her career, makes a careless tweet when she's getting on an airplane at Heathrow to go to South Africa. Something about, I'm on my way to South Africa, hope I don't get AIDS, just kidding, I'm white. It was a ridiculously careless tweet, and by the time the plane landed in Cape Town, she was trending worldwide. She'd been fired, and she'd been vilified in virtually every country in the world.
Yeah, so we have to be extremely careful for whatever we mm-hmm. do and say, because it is global.
Yes, it is. The old admonishments of, you know, would your grandma be okay if that was on the front page
it's
of the newspaper?
So.
It's not the local paper anymore.
And in this book, Ro, you talk about that in several
yes.
of these preceding chapters, being careful with your speech and how you relate to other individuals, because that does follow you for your lifetime.
It really does. All of these interactions now online have an afterlife. Our websites have an afterlife. Our tweets have an afterlife. And it'll be interesting to see when some of these folks run for office in decades to come.
Oh, boy. or try to get a job.
Yes.
Yeah, that's even sometimes more difficult. When we talked about millennials, now that's a hot topic. And so certainly this is a book that could very well reach that generation. Mm-hmm. But we have other generations that are there, the X, Y, Z. By the way, you know, the last generation that was enumerated or alphabetized, I guess it would be correct, was Z.
Yep.
Does that mean the apocalypse is about to happen because no one else can be born? They ran out of letters. So
they ran out of letters.
Back to double A?
Well, and even the millennials, some of them were known as Generation Z as well.
Right.
So,
but we found this crosses generations. And you came up with an interesting, and we've teased this now a couple of times, perennials.
Yes.
What's a perennial?
Yes. Thank you for teasing that early, because we absolutely love the concept. So a writer named Gina Pell introduced the world to the concept of perennials with an article called Meet the Perennials. And they are defined as a group that defies generational stereotypes. So we find them in every single generation. And if you think about a perennial in your own garden, it blooms every year. It's constantly growing, and it's got some steadfastness, but also the ability to continue to learn and grow and bloom and all that. And so we've come to believe the book is really for that audience, although it's written with the millennial in mind, for anyone that's interested in professional growth of any generation who considers themselves a perennial. It's a great read for them.
And so when we talk about cross-generational abilities, that innate curiosity, the willingness to learn, the willingness to grow and mature.
Yes.
Even if you are mature.
Even if you are mature.
Would define a perennial, yes?
Yes.
I think that is a fascinating look at this, because so many times we pigeonhole ourselves in these very discernible areas. You know, you're a baby boomer, so you must be like this.
And, yes.
And so we adopt these silly notions, but a perennial can be cross-generational. I think it's fascinating.
I agree with you.
Yeah. The book, by the way, is Your Invisible Toolbox. Rowena Crosby, her friends call her Ro, is in studio with us, and we've been talking about this. And where can folks get this? Amazon, I'm sure?
They can get it at Amazon. They can get it at Barnes & Noble. There's several bookstores locally that are carrying it. I'm speaking at the West Des Moines Chamber tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock.
Doing the early morning thing with the chamber.
Which I know you've done that, so I'm going to the correct location. Kind of an inside joke.
Yeah,
I know
it is,
you got sent off to the wrong hotel one day. So that's another place that they can pick it up.
Excellent. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I would be remiss if I didn't say Ro is available for keynoting and speaking about this book with your civic club and or organization, correct?
Thank you. Yes.
All right. Ro Crosby, ladies and gentlemen, the founder and president of Tarot International. Thanks so much for doing this.
My pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.
For all of us here at Insight on Business, the News Hour, thanks so much for hanging out with us this afternoon. Our producer is Tyler Hackenmiller. The voice of Insight on Business, the News Hour, is Jimmy Olson. The liaison between our advertising agency and the Des Moines Radio Group is Mary Sayer. The program director for the radio station is Patrick Wood. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted exclusively for the Business News Hour by our friend James Goodlett. For all those people and our guests, my name is Michael Libby. We will be back, God willing, tomorrow at 5 p.m. Until then, be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good night.